And I know that there's a number of people missing today because they're visiting their families. And that's great. I'm glad that we have this day to celebrate our mothers. And so just want to say happy Mother's Day. And I want to take a time to pray together, because I think that there may be some people out there that are also struggling during days like this. There are people that want to become mothers, and it's difficult for them. There are people that do have mothers, but it's been a difficult relationship. And people have been hurt by their parents in the past, and maybe there are broken relationships and past hurts. And so, and some of us sitting here might be one of those people also. And so let's take a time to pray for these people. And I'll close this off in prayer. So just quietly, silently today, let's pray for the people that are around us, asking the Lord to bless all the mothers and just thanking God for all the mothers that are here, and to give them extra strength and energy and wisdom to know how to continue to be a good mother. But also let's pray for those that are hurting, that have gone through difficult times, or that are going through a difficult time even now because of that. We'll take a time to pray, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being a good God. And Lord, today we're able to celebrate this Mother's Day, knowing that you give us mothers, you allow us to be, some of us to be mothers. And Lord, it's just a wonderful thing to celebrate. And I thank you, dear Lord, that you are working in each of their lives. As some of them are struggling with little children, trying to do their best to be good mothers. Some of them are struggling to be mothers even when their children are adults. And so I thank you so much. I pray that you would continue to work in these mothers' hearts and in their lives, that you would give them the strength and the energy each day, that you would give them new hope and new joy each morning as they strive to be good mothers to their children. And Lord, there are many others that are also struggling, that are struggling because of either difficult relationships with parents in the past. Maybe they received hurts from their parents. Or there may be some of us here that are struggling in our hearts because some of us are wanting to be mothers but cannot or have not been able to just yet. Lord, I pray for these that are hurting and in pain, that you would work in their hearts to give them peace and to find joy in times when it's difficult to find joy. Lord, there is only hope in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be working in each of their hearts, that all of us together would be able to turn our eyes to you and find that joy and find that peace that can only be found in you. So thank you, Lord, because again, we know that you are good and we know that you are working in our lives. I pray, God, that you would continue to guide us in your truth. And as we look to your word now, I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would bear your truth. It would bear fruit in the hearts of all of us here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verses 7 to 11. There are Bibles in front of you. You can use those. The passage is also on the screen. And feel free also to use your Bibles on your phone. That's okay too. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, ESV. This is the reading of God's Word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Matthew, and last week we picked up again. We were on a break during the month of April for the Easter season. But then last week we picked up again in Matthew in our series. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 now, which is the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus is speaking to all the people. And in the beginning of Matthew, just to remind you guys, in the beginning of Matthew, Jesus is being introduced as the new king, the Messiah to come to rescue his people. And as a new king comes, a new king is supposed to come and introduce a new law to the kingdom. Well, what Jesus does is that he doesn't introduce a new law, but he reiterates the old law that already existed from the Old Testament. It was the law that Moses introduced. But what Jesus does a little bit differently is that he says, you guys understood the law to mean this. And you guys have thought about it in this way, but I want to tell you that the law is not just about these outward actions, but it's more about what's going on in your heart. And because of what's going on in your heart, it produces a type of action outwardly. All of your outward actions are results of what's going on in your heart. And so Jesus comes and he's explaining all of this stuff. And now we come to Matthew chapter 7, where he gives this command that a lot of us have heard before. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. It's a really familiar verse for a lot of us, maybe not for all of us, but it is a familiar verse that maybe we've heard somewhere. And so we're going to be talking about this thing. The main idea for today's message is that we should ask our Heavenly Father who will give good things. So the main idea, again, is that we should ask our Heavenly Father. We should feel free to come before Him and ask whatever it is that's on our hearts. We should ask our Heavenly Father who will give good things. And the way that we're going to talk about it today is we're going to be talking about three things. The first thing is our theology versus reality. And what I mean by theology is basically our understanding of God or our understanding of Christianity. All right? So theology versus reality. Second is better theology. And third is a better reality. All right? So one more time. Theology versus reality. The second thing is better theology. And the third thing is a better reality. All right, so let's talk about this idea of theology versus reality. We're told that we should ask and that it'll be given to us, that we should seek and you will find, and if you knock, that it'll be given to you. Our understanding of God, our understanding of Christianity is what we will call our theology. All right, so let's go back to the verse again. In verse 7 and 8, it says this, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. All right, so when we first look at this passage, we think, all right, so we can ask anything to the Lord, and He'll give it to us, right? And so that's what we usually think about. But then when we think about this idea, our understanding of this verse and our reality are actually opposed to each other. When we ask, sometimes what we discover is that we don't necessarily receive all the time. And so it seems like the thing that we're supposed to believe, what the Bible says, is actually not really what's going on. So the theology is different from the reality. Now, some of us may have heard from another part of Scripture where people are supposed to be persistent in asking. And if you are persistent in asking before the Lord, then God may be moved to give you what you want. And so some of us may have this idea in our minds, but then if you think about that idea is almost similar to any other religion out there, right? Any other religion will say all you need to do is just keep on trying, keep on asking. You know, the like Buddhists, what they do, right? And some of you guys could correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. But what I see Buddhists doing is that they go to the temple and then they do their acts of praying and throwing the blocks so that they can get an answer. They want to get some type of benefit from it. They're hoping for a better life. And so they go and they keep trying and they keep trying and they're wanting to make sure that maybe some God out there or someone out there will be pleased or that I'll get some type of good fate or something like that so that there will be a good result for me. And so a lot of religions are like this, where you're told to go and just keep trying, keep trying, keep asking, and maybe the gods will answer. Well, when we think about it in our passage today, is that what it's saying? I mean, if we think about, just thinking about this idea, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you, it just doesn't really seem like it's totally correct. Because basically, when we see that this is what the Scripture says and we think that it's telling us we should ask and it'll be given to us, but it doesn't match with the reality, it causes some kind of issue in our hearts and in our minds, right? And what it does is that we end up doubting. We either end up doubting God, saying that maybe God doesn't really exist. I've been really trying my best to please Him, but then God is not answering, so maybe God doesn't exist. Or we might get to a place where we say, well, yeah, God exists, and I'm trying and I'm praying, but He's not answering, so maybe God is not really a good God. Maybe He's not really one who's looking out for me. And that might be one of the conclusions we come to. Or, on the other hand, we might not doubt God, but we might end up doubting ourselves. We might say, oh yeah, God is good, and He's doing the good work, but I'm not good enough. I'm failing as a child of God. I'm not good. And that's why God's not giving me what I want, what I'm praying for, what I'm hoping for. And so we face this struggle. When we see that our theology and the reality doesn't match up, we end up doubting. There's this conflict in our hearts. And we either end up doubting God or we end up doubting ourselves. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you may have heard of other Christians coming to you saying a couple phrases to kind of explain what's going on. So for example, someone might come to you and say, oh, maybe God's not answering because actually, it's not that God doesn't answer. God answers always. And He's always going to give an answer, and it's either going to be yes, no, or wait. Some of us may have heard this before, right? Or some of us may have heard responses like, well, don't worry, God is in control. God is in control, so just don't worry. Or some of us may have heard phrases like, you know, God wants to bring you something bigger than what you're asking for. So just find comfort in that idea. So we hear all of these things, but then
Even though we hear these things, we're still not getting what we're asking for, and we find ourselves troubled in our hearts, and we're trying to convince ourselves that God is good and that God will answer somehow. We're trying to convince ourselves, but we don't feel it in our hearts. So what's going on? How do we deal with this issue? Well, we talked about that there's a theology, our understanding of what God is like and about Christianity, and there's the reality that we face, right? That was the first point. The second point is this: better theology. What we need is to have a better understanding of who God actually is and what this passage is actually talking about. So let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" Okay, so here what Jesus is saying, simply what he's saying is that, look, you guys know what it's like to be a good parent. Right? If a kid comes to you and says, you know, "Dad, please give me a bread or a fish," will we actually go and say, "All right, haha, here's a knife"? You know, we wouldn't do that. We would give them what they're asking for. I mean, I know some of us, we joke around with our kids and we might give them something else. But ultimately, we're wanting to do what's good for our children. And so it says in verse 11 what Jesus says. In verse 9 and 10, it's just basically saying, we know, you guys know what it's like to be good to our kids. And then in verse 11, it says this. This is the point. Jesus says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Right? So here's one of the first things that we need to talk about when we talk about better theology. The first thing is that God is a good God who gives good things. And we find that in the verses that we just looked at. We understand the idea of what it is to give good things to our children. And what Jesus says is that, well, if you are like this, you who are evil, and it's not to say that you're just a bad person. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that all of us have sin in our hearts. If you who are evil, who have sin in our hearts, know how to give good things to your children, then how much more will our good God give good things to his children? Right? So the first thing that we need to realize and remember is that God really is a good God. And he is really wanting to give good things to his children. Now here's the second thing. The second thing is that our Father is a Father who is in heaven. Right? In verse 11 it says that, how much more will your Father who is in heaven? And what this is pointing out is the idea that our Father who is in heaven is the God who created this whole universe. He is the one that created all things. And if he's the one that was able to create all things, would we not think that he is powerful? Powerful to provide everything that we need. Powerful enough to move the circumstances around to give us those things that we do need in our lives. Those good things that he wants to give us. Our Father is in heaven and is a powerful God who is able to provide. And so, that's the second idea. And the third idea is this. If our God is a good God who is able to give good things, and he is our Father in heaven who is powerful enough to be able to give us those good things, then the third thing that we need to remember is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we are his children. That we do have a Father who is good, who is able to give good things, and who has the power to do that. Now, I want to speak to some of us here that are not believers. I think at this point it'd be good to kind of think through the idea, what do you rely on to find those good things in your life? And are they able to bring those good things? Do they really bring about that sense of joy, lasting joy? And maybe it might be there for a period of time, but it is temporary. Even people that earn a lot of money may feel like they're joyful at a certain point, but some time passes by and you begin to wonder how I'm going to keep all this money. And people that are rich may begin to worry about holding on to their money. And so I just want to say, think through that idea a little bit. What is it that you look to find good things? What is it that you look to satisfy your deep heart's desires? Well, the Bible does say that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you put your hope in Jesus, then we are called His children. Now, as His children, we will ask things of Him, right? And we know that just in this passage, it talks about how if we ask for bread, will the Father give us some evil thing? If we ask for some fish, will the Father give us some evil things? No, He's a good God. But here's the thing. Is it possible that there are times that we actually do ask for a stone or a serpent? Is it possible that there are times that we might ask for evil things? It's possible, right? It's possible. Now, looking at it from the Father's point of view, from God's point of view, will the Father withhold evil things from us if we ask Him for it? You know, if we're asking for those evil things, will the Father withhold those things from us? Perhaps. Maybe. Will the Father give us neutral things? Maybe they're not good or bad, and we're asking for it. Will the Father give those things for us, to us? Perhaps. Will the Father give good things? Well, we just saw in our passage today, the answer is, of course He will. He will give good things to us. Now, how do we discern what is good from evil? How do we discern how to ask for those good things? Well, all we have to do is look back at chapter 6. And so the whole chapter was talking about how people were wanting approval from people, and so that's why they were doing those good things. But Jesus goes on to say, you cannot serve your own heart in this way and serve God at the same time. You cannot serve those possessions or money, your own desires, and serve God at the same time. Rather, we should seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. We should seek Him, our God, and what He desires first. And everything that we're worrying about, all those things that we're seeking, will be given to us if we're keeping our eyes on Him first. Okay, some of us might be sitting here saying, yeah, I know that. But there's still a struggle in my heart. If it's true that I am seeking God and I'm asking Him for these things, then why is it that I'm still not getting these things? I mean, I go out and I try to love people. I come to church and I'm trying to seek Him, but I'm still not getting those things that I'm asking for. I still don't understand what's going on. Well, we talk about the better theology. Our understanding of God has to come from Scripture. Our understanding of what Christianity is about has to come from Scripture. That He is a good God, He is going to give good things, and that He's powerful enough to give those to us, and if we do believe in Him, that we are His children. And that will actually speak into our lives and give us a better reality. So let's talk about that a little bit. The reality is that a lot of times we don't get what we're asking for, what we ask for. And it brings us to a place where we begin to doubt God, or we begin to doubt ourselves, that either God is not a good God, or that I'm not being a good child.
And so that's why maybe he's withholding things from me. And so we do this. Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Well, perhaps the reason why we doubt is because there's something that we're asking for and we really, really want it. We really, really want that thing. And because God's not giving it to us, we begin to doubt. Right? If it was something that we're just asking for and it's not something that we're really wanting, and we're like, it's okay, God, if you don't give it to me, then we wouldn't struggle that way, right? But maybe it's because that thing that we're asking for is something that we really, really desire. And since we're not getting it, that's what's actually causing us to doubt. Now, the thing that we're asking for may not necessarily be a bad thing. It may not necessarily be a bad thing, but what ends up happening is that we end up seeking that thing so much. We're wanting that thing so much that it almost becomes like an idol in our lives, where we say, God, if you don't give this thing to me, then I'm going to say that I don't believe in you anymore. I don't believe that you're a good God anymore. I don't believe what your Bible says, what your word says, that I am your child. I'm not going to believe that anymore because I love this thing so much and I want this thing. Right? It might not be a bad thing in itself, but it's because we're wanting this so much, we're loving this so much that it becomes an evil thing. So for example, some of us, we might want a car. This is just an example, a silly example. We might want a car and we don't get it. But maybe we really, really want that car. For some reason, we really, really want that car. And when we don't get it, then we start to doubt our Heavenly Father, or we start to doubt ourselves. Now, that's a silly example, but some of us, we really struggle with really difficult circumstances. So, for example, some of us here struggle with really wanting a job, really wanting a good job, a good career. And for some of us, we've been waiting to find that job for a while. And we're asking, why is a good job not coming my way? I don't understand it. And it begins to cause you to doubt either God, or it causes you to doubt yourself. Or some of us, we've been wanting to get married for a long, long time. And we've been waiting and we've been praying for a long, long time. And we're really asking God, God, please, I really want to get married, but it's just not happening. And it causes us to doubt God, or it causes us to doubt ourselves. Some of us, it's really difficult. We've been wanting a child for a long, long time. And because it's not happening, it is difficult. I acknowledge it is difficult. It's really difficult. But sometimes we're asking for that so much, and that idea of having a child may become an idol in itself. And what that causes is that we might end up doubting God, or we might end up doubting ourselves because of that. Or maybe for some of us here, we've been really praying for a person to be saved, a person to come to believe in Jesus Christ. We really care about them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe it's someone in the family, like your children. And you're really, really praying for this. But what happens if they pass away and they still didn't believe? Where does your heart go from there? And for some of us, we may have faced this kind of situation where we end up either doubting God, or we end up doubting ourselves. When we end up doubting God, or when we end up doubting ourselves, what we're doing is we're going against what Scripture says. We're not believing what the Bible tells us. And what we call that is, basically what we're doing is we're taking our eyes off of God and His Word, and we're placing our eyes on ourselves. And what that's called is, it's called sin. where we take our eyes off of God and we put our eyes on ourselves. And what we end up doing is that when we take our eyes off of God and we put it on ourselves and we say, we really, really want this thing, we really, really want it, then we try all kinds of ways to try to obtain that thing. And it's not happening. And you just try and try and try and you try all kinds of different ways and you're fighting for it. And sometimes you end up hurting other people because you're fighting for it. You blame other people. I know I do this. We end up blaming other people. We end up blaming our situations. We end up doing all these things. And we all these things that we typically call sin might start to come out because we're fighting for that thing. We try to achieve or accomplish that thing by our own strength. And we fall into this trap over and over and over again. Even as Christians, we do this. Even missionaries do this. Even I myself as a pastor. I actually did this past week. Recently, I realized how I was in sin. And I found out how I wronged people. And how I handled things improperly. And I admit that I was in the wrong. I admit that I was wrong. I'm not a perfect pastor. I will fail as a pastor in multiple ways. But since that time that I discovered that this was true, I've been fighting. I've been trying to go before the Lord and I've been praying, God, forgive me. God, please make the situation better. God, I really want to make things better between me and these people. I really want to see things work out. And I feel this guilt and I feel the shame inside of me. And I've been struggling because I've been wanting for those feelings to go away. But then the temptations that I kept facing were I wanted to blame other people. Or I wanted to blame other situations. The circumstances, the way that it occurred. I wanted to say, no, it's because of those things. And I wanted to find some way to redeem myself. To say, no, everything's okay. No, everything's going to be all right. And I wanted to find some way to not have to feel that guilt and that shame anymore. And I was asking God. And it sounds like a godly thing to go before God and to pray and seek forgiveness and all these things. I've been trying to do that, but then it's still been a struggle in my heart. And the reason is because deep in my heart, I'm doing the right thing. But deep in my heart, I still have this idol. And the idol basically is that I do want people to approve of me. I do want people to say that, Peter, you are a good pastor. Or I do want people to come and say, Peter, you're doing a great job. You're succeeding in what you're doing. And in this moment when things were pointed out to me of what I did wrong, man, that got shattered. And so that was like eating me up. And even though I was doing the right thing and praying to God, even though I had the right theology, right? I was thinking of doing the right thing, but still on deep on the inside, there was this sin that was still there. And I'm telling you guys, it's been a struggle. I'm constantly praying and I'm asking God, take away this guilt and the shame and all these thoughts keep coming back. No, I want to blame people. I want to do this. I want to say that it's not my fault. I want to say, well, at least I'm still succeeding in other areas. I wanted to find some excuse. I wanted to keep doing that. But that's being driven by my idol that's deep on the inside. And some of you may also discover that you've encountered something similar to this, in which you ask God for forgiveness, but you're still holding on to these deep idols that are in your hearts. And those deep things could be something like you're wanting comfort, or you're wanting success, or approval, or you're trying to be in control of some situation. And you're still trying to obtain these things for yourself. We fail. we fail, I fail. And not only do we fail, but people have failed all throughout history. In the Old Testament, Abraham's children, the people of Israel, were supposed to be God's children. They're supposed to live faithfully to God. But if you read through the Old Testament, they failed over and over. And then it talks about how to David failed also. King David, one of the greatest kings of all of Israel's history. He failed himself. He was supposed to be a man after God's own heart, but he failed. And God made a promise to David saying, you know, you're going to have a child who will reign as a king over Israel. And Solomon came along, his son, and he failed. And we find this how, as we, even though we're supposed to be God's children, we continue to fail God. But there is Jesus. Jesus is the greater child than any of us could ever be. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was declared, after he was baptized, he was declared by the Father to be his beloved Son. And right after that, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. And Satan says, if you are God's Son, then turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, no, I will not go back on what God's word was, that I am his beloved Son. I don't need to prove anything to you, Satan. I don't need to turn this stone into bread. And later when Jesus was going to the cross, Jesus desired, if possible, that he wouldn't have to face the cross and all that that entailed. But he trusted that the Father's will was greater and that it was good. And he prayed, instead of saying, this is what I want, he prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. And where we doubt, Jesus continued to believe the Heavenly Father, that the Father was going to give him good things, and that he was the Father's beloved Son. But the irony is this. The interesting thing is that Jesus the Son, the beloved Son, instead of receiving what was good, received the just punishment that we deserved. The thing, Jesus prayed, but didn't receive what he was praying for. Where we, when we pray, we don't get what we pray for, but we actually get what Jesus deserved. What Jesus deserved was glory. And eventually he did receive it because he did rise from the dead. We deserve punishment because we continue to turn away. Jesus, the perfect child, the better child, didn't receive it, didn't receive the punishment, didn't receive the glory, but rather he received the punishment so that we can receive the glory. And now because of what Jesus did, he gives his perfection to us. And when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus in us. And he says, you are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. And so even if we fail, we can still trust that we are God's beloved child and that he will give good things to us. And because of this good news, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we can have the confidence now to go before the Father and say, Father, I desire what you desire, just like Jesus did. I desire your righteousness and your kingdom. And Jesus says, if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then he will give you all the good things that you desire. This is the better reality. This is why we could be daring in asking the Father, if we hold on to this truth about what Jesus Christ did for us, if we hold on to him, we can ask daringly. God will answer. I just want to share with you guys that my struggle that I shared with you guys is not over. I'm still struggling in my heart. Even last night, I was praying to God and I was struggling, these temptations to want to blame and these temptations to want to give excuses is still there. I'm still struggling and I'm still fighting to tell myself that because of Jesus, I am the Father's beloved child. And so I ask you guys to pray for me, because it is something that I'm still going through. Pray for me, because I'm not a perfect pastor. I will make mistakes. I will end up sinning against people and hurting some of you guys. And I do want to work to make things right, but please pray for me. Pray that I will look to the Father, that I will look to Jesus, and that I'll find my hope in Him. Here's some questions you guys could think through. What do you believe about God? Is He really good? Is He really powerful? What do you think about yourself? If you believe in Jesus Christ, do you really believe that you are a child of God? And what's deep in your heart when you begin to either doubt God or doubt yourself? What is it that's really driving you, that you're really wanting? What is that thing? If you discover what those things are, bring those things before the Lord. Confess them and keep crying out to Jesus. He is our only hope. And He's the only one that could lead us to true life and true peace. Let's pray together.